This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave. Yep, that's right. This is a Friday Rave. And hats off to James with not anything wrong with the rest of his weeks in your face, but one that I particularly enjoyed today, hearing people make the connections between the role of capital and the issues that affect them in their day-to-day lives. Okay, but anyway, I'm not Mercedes, I'm actually Jacob, and I'm on my own again, just as I settle into my seat in the studio here and put the headphones on and all the rest of it. I'm on my own again, as my co-host reverts to their Christian heritage and has gone away for the weekend to an unknown location, possibly to take part in some sort of gruesome reenactment of a passion play, who knows? But they'll be back next week. But yeah, it's different. It's different being here on my own, and it's different being Good Friday. I mean, my take on Good Friday is that it is a day that is different to others, where things happen that usually don't. On my way in here this afternoon, for example, I stopped at my local branch of the ubiquitous hardware chain and it was closed. Bugger me, I thought, if you can't even buy hardware in Melbourne on Good Friday, then change is possible and things can be different. So today, in Mercedes' absence, left to my own devices in the studio, just like old times, I figured that I don't know what I'm going to speak of. I'm just going to rave, I reckon, about a few of the things I've been thinking about. I've got some dot points that I want to cover, and I'll just extrapolate, I think is the word to use. But let's start with the utterly abysmal and cringeworthy address to the nation that our Prime Minister gave the other night. Now, my main issue with it, I didn't expect anything earth-shattering from him, but my main issue is that the opportunity for an address to the nation, as it does with, you know, blanket television and radio coverage where you can't get away from the prick, it's usually used for making important announcements. And this was just a piece of fluff that said little more than trust Daddy. We've got things under control, with a look of panic in his face that told you anything but. I mean, at least he called the war a war. Though he had the gall, I've got to say, you've got to at least give that to him. He had the gall to look us, not in the eye, but in the camera, straight down the barrel of the camera and say that Australia is not an active participant in this war, but all Australians are paying higher prices because of it. To start with the fuel, where would you start? Why would you give a national address to do nothing more than announce how fantastic a bloody job you were doing? You know, talking about his cuts to fuel excise, without mentioning that the Labor Party initially opposed it, and that came out from the opposition benches. They're, you know, two sides of the same coin, really. There was no information in his address at all, other than it's all okay. Act normally. Go on holidays. Keep spending your money. Then he went on to mention particular groups affected by the increased prices. Again, as if he had nothing to do with the increased prices. You know, Australia is not an active participant in this war, but Australians are paying higher prices because of it. We're innocent bystanders. What What a load of rot. But anyway, he mentioned the groups. I think he mentioned farmers, miners, truckers. Now, 3CR listeners may have heard on Wednesday from Troy Fraser of the Doomadgee community in North Queensland on the exacerbating effect that fuel prices are having on problems caused by the recent flooding. Effects including on mental health that are replicated on First Nations communities across Northern Australia. But do you reckon this government gives a shit? No. Go on holidays, keep spending, but catch a train if you can. And then he talks about Australians being known for a fair go and give people a fair go. Get a train if you can, or get a public transport if you can, because other people need it. He said, not in his address, but earlier in the week. Spare a thought so that other Australians could get their fair share, like they get their fair share of housing and access to education and healthcare and all the rest of it. Fair share. But it's nothing to do with us because we're not an active participant, apparently. The Wedgetail electronic warfare plane, the refueling aircraft, the two, what are they, K-10s, the logistic planes, the missiles, Pine Gap. Not to mention that he was the first world leader, the first to announce his approval and, you know, by inference, Australians, by inference, yours and my approval and support of the invasion of Iran as soon as it started. I think I said last week or the other week on this show that he was actually quicker to support Donald Trump in this war than John Howard was to support G.W. Bush in 2001. But anyway, nothing to do with us. We're just innocent bystanders. But anyway, it's not only all those things. We now have news that the SAS are on its way to the Middle East. That'll calm things down. You know, this in a week that saw revelations of SAS troops freaking out from being tortured as part of their training. Absolutely freaking out and breaking down. And, you know, but we're sent, that's who we're sending over to the Middle East to be part of a war that we're not part of. You know, this is your Ben Robert Smiths of the world. This is your Zachary Rolfs of the world. That's our way of calming things down. Both Albanese and Wong have been talking about calming things down and de-escalating. So we send in trigger-happy, traumatised murderers. That's all they are. Anyway, while that announcement about the SAS came from the Daily Telegraph, not a record of note that I usually give much credence to, but I believe it because I then looked up to see what else it was coming from and I could see nothing, and I saw Penny Wong dodged the question just this morning when she asked if we were sending troops to the Gulf, saying that, quote, Australia is not taking offensive action against Iran and we are not deploying troops on the ground in Iran. Now, that's her way of saying, yes, we're sending troops. There's no other way of looking at it. We're not involved in the war in Iran, but we are involved in the collective defensive response to Iran's blocking of international shipping. Now, here's a thing worth considering. If Iran can close off a major international shipping route against the might of the US and the US military, and the US ships and subs can't get in there, and the US is running out of missiles because of supply chain issues, and the US can't do a regime change, or to put it in plain speak, a foreign-backed coup, because the only way you can do that is universally accepted as needing the will of the people, doesn't that mean that we need to rethink the very nature of military might? Or, to be honest, about military objectives? I mean, seriously, the amount of money they spend on their military, and is just, let me just pull up a different website here. Let me have a look. Trump to unveil today a $1.5 trillion military budget. All right, so that's just the biggest military the world has ever known can't beat a nation like Iran. Now, I'm not saying that Iran's a piss-weak country or anything silly like that. How dare I? Why would I? But really, in terms of military might, it's chalk and cheese. It's not even David and Goliath. It's an ant versus Goliath. So with that being the case, you know, what's the point of all this weaponry? And maybe I'll get back to that in a minute. But we could otherwise start being honest about military objectives, because it seems to me that the last few wars the West has been involved in have resulted not so much in regime change or, you know, the redistribution of land or resources, but how can I put it? Total power vacuums of chaos, like Libya and Syria to a lesser degree, or unsustainable situations like Iraq and Afghanistan. I believe, and I've said it before, that I think this is the actual objective, because in these situations, corporations have easier access to exploit resources. You know, the kind of resource extraction that the Andrew formerly known as Prince got in trouble for passing details on to Epstein about. Lawless countries have, by definition, no adequate laws restricting corporate exploitation. That is why, you know, we look at Libya as a failed state. We look at Afghanistan as a failed state. They're not a failed state. They were decimated, annihilated, and had their systems of governance control removed by US military and West, not just the US, France is in there, Australia's in there, by global Western militaries in order to create the kind of chaos that enhances and facilitates the possibilities of corporate exploitation of resources. For Christ's sake, they've even got a slave trade in Libya these days. Didn't have that under Gaddafi, no matter what you thought of him. And I'm on record of saying I thought pretty bloody highly of him, to be honest. But anyway, in some strange way, that paradoxically makes the Iranian clerics, now this is a thought, it makes the Iranian clerics defending the country against chaos actually the defenders of the current order of civilized society and the West, aiming at continuing their destruction of national governments in favour of power vacuums, the actual threat to the world order. Think about that. This is actually, when you think of it in terms of the United States military wanting to cause chaos and the Iranian government wanting to ensure that laws about extraction and transport remain in place, regardless of what you think of either government, it actually turns things on its head a bit, doesn't it? Anyway.
We have a right to be in public space, undertaking political activity. That is not something that people should be telling us that we can't do.
Multiple actions rolling over months and years and create huge sustained pressure of social change.
And what we're seeing around the country right now is increasing repression of protest.
Protest works. That's why I think we're seeing it criminalised all over the place.
3CR. Stay tuned, stay radical.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
Yep, you're back with me, Jacob, on my own today on a Friday rave. It's around about 5:15. That's as accurate as you need it anyway. And just to remind people, subscribe to Community Radio 3CR. You need to subscribe to Community Radio 3CR. It's the only radio station in the country to let people like us on the air. But anyway, that might be a reason not to subscribe, but I reckon you should subscribe. Anyway, I was saying that the paradox of the United States destroying global order while the Iranian clerics are actually doing their damnedest to maintain the existing structure. Anyway, we knew that was the case. But thinking aloud, what we're looking at is possibly, I don't know, the inflection point between socialism and barbarism. I don't know. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. Before Trump's election, I made the point that the rest of the Western world would begin distancing itself, if Trump was there, from the US in a way that would never have occurred under, say, Biden or Harris. We're now seeing that. I just wish it didn't take a war on Iran. But what I think we're seeing, really, is the West needing, the West outside the United States, needing to distance itself from Trump rather than the US because it wants, or needs, to maintain the very long-standing system of the global rules-based order under whatever name, Pax Americana, whatever, that is currently being destroyed by the people who are ultimately its beneficiaries. So we, the West, need to engage in this collective cognitive dissonance that we aren't supporting this war without questioning the central importance of the military-industrial complex, whilst pretending that we're involved in some weird form of collective self-defence against an enemy that is cutting the lifelines to our industrial society. So this war is really two wars, or three, if you count Israel's continued attacks left, right and centre. But we'll stick to this war, which is really two wars. First, there's the US's aim to create a lawless chaos by demolishing Iranian society, not replacing it with anything because they can't and they have no, they're not even claiming that's what they want to do. They just want to demolish it in order to facilitate its further exploitation that would benefit US-based corporations. Then there's the collective self-defense, so-called. I hope you read the air quotes around my voice there, collective self-defense, that aims to ensure that oil and other resources keep flowing as they have, regardless of the first war. And while this is happening, countries like Australia need to support the US because they basically run our military and our economy. Militarily, we're now at the point of interoperability and we couldn't extradite ourselves with all the laws this government, the Albanese government, has passed, and the Morrison government before it and on before them, but this government has passed an enormous amount of laws that tie our military into theirs, to then now at the point of interoperability, as I said. We're not allowed to extricate ourselves. And economically, we're controlled by US investments. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The top 20 companies on the stock exchange represent about half of the market actualization of the Australian dollar. And I think all but one of them are majority owned by US hedge funds. We couldn't extricate ourselves from that if we wanted to. We are a sub-imperial power, no doubt. with more and more emphasis on the sub and less on the power. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Professor Clinton Fernandez, a friend of the show, coming back on air to, well, we haven't discussed what we're going to talk about, but no doubt the war in Iran and its effect on fuel prices and everything else will be a major topic of conversation. But before I finish up with today's ramble, I started off by saying that even if we accept the need for war, that the current form of military might be becoming obsolete. And how did this happen? This is about, ironically, the result of the corporatisation of the military. Now, we know we've all seen the effects of corporatisation, or as we call it here in Australia, privatisation of everything from public transport to education to hospitals to, well, you name it. Garbage contractors, for Christ's sake. It doesn't work. But what's happened is the military has also gone corporate, to rely on the corporations. Now, we've got a situation where companies like Lockheed Martin control the maintenance on their weapon systems. So the US has got so many planes and missiles and launchers and all the rest of it that they can't use because of supply chain problems within Lockheed Martin. It's not just Lockheed Martin, it's Boeing, it's Northrop Grumman, it's General Dynamics, and even across the ditch in the UK, it's, what are they called, BAE Systems, and it's all the French ones and Italian ones. They all rely on corporations. Now, you look at just something simple like a missile, and I've spoke about this again, we're short on missiles, and they can't just provide more missiles because there's only one company in the United States that provides black powder. There's only two companies, I think, that have the additive ability to create the solid fuel rockets for the missile systems. Now, solid fuel rockets, they're different to liquid fuel rockets in that they're ammonium percolate. And they're, what they are is you've got the tube of the rocket with the warhead in the nose cone, and the main part of the rocket itself is this packed material which is almost rubberized, which once it's ignited can't be stopped, can't be changed. It's got a profile based on the shape of the fuel within it that determines it's got a, starts off with a thrust and it cruises a bit and all the rest, but it can't be changed. But all those bits and pieces are made by different companies. Sometimes you've got the main company, say your Northrop or your Lockheed or whoever, that subcontract out to secondary companies. They're called second tier, and then you've got them subcontracting out to third tier companies, and the third tier companies often subcontract out to fourth tier companies and beyond, and it just takes one small blockage in the only company that makes a bearing or a washer that fits this kind of equipment, and you've got the whole system on standby. So what's the point of having all these missiles? What's the point of having aircraft carriers where the toilets don't work? You know, if the toilets don't work, it makes you wonder about their Aegis self-defense systems. It makes you wonder about their targeting abilities. But anyway, they can't get in to the Straits of Hormuz. And the Iranians are holding them off with homemade, Iranian-made missiles, where they control production from start to finish. This system of the corporatisation of the military, even if you were a pro-war, pro-military, all the way with Donald Trump, all the way with the West, you know, let God sort him out type of right-wing nut job, the way they're running the military doesn't work. And this is something that I think they really need to focus on, because by knowing it doesn't work, and they know, they've known it doesn't work for a long time. I've got reports from the Pentagon and from the accounting office pre-October the 7th, 2023, saying that they're running out of projectiles, they're running out of interceptors, they're running out of parts because of what they said to the Ukraine, that they can't, they should no longer supply allies with interceptors. And then, of course, October the 7th happens and they start sending everything to Israel. And then, of course, they invade Iran. They're running out of missiles. And the scary thing here, folks, the very scary things here, is if they can't win, if they run out of conventional missiles, are they going to start using non-conventional ones? Anyway, that's about all I've got time for. I'm going to it's just been a bit of an all-over-the-place rave today. But that's the state of the world, the state of the military-industrial complex. It's not about Trump. It's not Mad King Donald that, you know, most of the media is talking about Donald Trump and about his address to his nation a couple of days ago. It is about the way the corporations, the way capitalism is in such trouble that they've fallen over themselves to create chaos. But the only way they can create chaos is with equipment that in some Byzantine way has led to their own demise. As I said, we're on the point to change between socialism and barbarism. And speaking about the change between socialism and barbarism, I've got the good folks from Slacker Radio just came into the studio.
Get ready for some barbarism.
Get ready for some barbarism. What do you got on for us today?
What have we got on? We're going to talk about our friends over in the Victorian Liberal Party, our mate Moira Deeming, how she's going. What else we got?
What else you got?
We've got some protesters getting their everything smashed in for, I don't know, fighting against Isaac Herzog's visit.
Oh, yeah.
Getting cracked down upon.
Well, it's happening that kind all of thing. Over the place, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in the UK too and all that.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to put a card on and get out of the studio, and when the listener out there closes their eyes and reopens them again, you'll be on this side of the desk.
You'll be none the wiser, dear listener.
Okay, more from me next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.